On this date 30 years ago, five intruders were arrested inside the headquarters of the Democratic National Committee in Washington, D.C.'s Watergate complex. The bungled burglary eventually was linked to President Richard Nixon's re-election campaign. Attempts to cover up those connections led to congressional investigations, federal prosecutions, and ultimately to the president's own resignation. Nixon rarely spoke candidly about Watergate, but came closest during a series of television interviews in 1977.
It was a tragedy from a personal standpoint, from a family standpoint. A tragedy so deep, so wrenching that it can't be described.
Nixon was interviewed by British journalist David Frost, who paid six figures for the opportunity. They covered Watergate, China, Vietnam, and spoke for more than 24 hours over several sessions. Much of that footage is included in a series of programs beginning tonight on the Discovery Civilization channel. Frost says there was significant competition to land the interview. Still, after negotiating for a year, Frost insisted on certain ground rules.
There were no conditions on us at all, absolutely not to know the questions in advance. He wouldn't see the edited program until it was broadcast. All things that were essential for the credibility of the interviews. And we had a stipulation that out of the 24 hours that we were doing, at least six would be devoted to Watergate.
So all this was done in about a two-week period in the spring of 77.
That's right. Three sessions a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and then the same the next week. The Watergate sessions were, I think, day six and day seven, and we never needed to do day eight because day seven was so emotional. What happened over the 2 days was on the first day of the Watergate taping, he wouldn't admit anything, wouldn't admit anything was wrong, wouldn't admit that there was even mistakes. And then between that day and the day 2 days later when we continued, first time, only time he was late. He was always absolutely punctual, but he was 17 minutes late. And he had a little bit of that haunted look that he had at the time of Watergate actually happening. And then he was prepared to volunteer something. He got to mistakes and so on. And then I said, once you go further than mistakes, the words, that's just not enough for the American people. And he did this heart-stopping question of saying,
what word would you express?
My goodness, that's a... Let me try and say.
Because I have qualified the mistakes tried to say.
Let me say
how bad they were.
That moment was like hitting you upside the head. You just had a terrible time. You were flummoxed.
Well, I don't know what I was trying to say. What I wanted to do was to do it. I mean, I sensed at that moment he was the most vulnerable he'd ever be, ever again. It seemed like an almost constitutional moment with his vulnerability at that point.
I had a lot of difficult meetings those last days before I resigned, and the most difficult one and the only one where I broke into tears. I met with all of my key supporters just a half hour before going on television. For 25 minutes, we all sat around the Oval Office, men that I'd come to Congress with. Les Ahrens, Illinois, bless him, he was just shaking, sobbing. And that ended it for me. And I just, well, I must say, I sort of cracked up. And then I blurted it out. And I said, I'm sorry. I just hope I haven't let you down. Well, when I said, I just hope I haven't let you down, that said it all. I had. I let down my friends. I let down the country. I let down our system of government and the dreams of all those young people that ought to get into government but will think it's all too corrupt and the rest.
Chris, given the gravity of the whole deal, I mean, you were really looking for more, but he couldn't do that. He didn't have that in him.
I hadn't expected him to go as far as that, frankly. I thought he would have stonewalled more at the last stage. I think that was probably one of the reasons why it was something of a catharsis for the American people at that time, that he had finally faced up to these issues, not in a court of law, which a lot of people would love to have seen him in a court of law, but that wasn't going to happen. So he'd been pardoned, but faced up in a forum where he was clearly not in control. And I think that's why it had the impact it did, probably.
I let the American people down, and I have to carry that burden with me for the rest of my life. My political life is over. I will never yet, and never again, have an opportunity to serve in any official position. And so, while technically I did not commit a crime, an impeachable offense, as far as the handling of this matter was concerned, it was so botched up. I made so many bad judgments.
When people say, were you sympathetic towards Nixon after this experience? I always said at the time, well, there were times when you could feel empathetic, perhaps, towards him, but the thing that stopped you feeling sympathetic was the toll he had taken of so many lives of people who worked loyally for him and ended up in jail.
I fouled up in the area where I'm supposed to be a master, the area of just politics. I'm not proud of what I did. And anybody who is in that office who does something which reduces respect for the offices makes America a little weaker, a little less admirable, and most important, less able to be the leader of the free world, which it must be if freedom is to survive.
It looked like both of you were drained after Watergate, after your discussion. It just...
Absolutely. Bob, that second day we'd been going and I'd been pushing him further and one can see the anguish. And by the end of it, we were absolutely... Drained is absolutely the right word. And funnily enough, the following session, he had been trying to be one of the boys with the cameraman a bit and saying, you know, we're all hard hats together, these flaky journalists and so on. And as we walked through the kitchen where his aides and my aides were gathered, Nixon, trying to be one of the boys with me, said, did you do any fornicating this weekend? If there hadn't been other people in the room who looked absolutely stunned, I'd have thought I'd gone bonkers and imagined the whole thing, you know. I mean, but typical of Nixon's lack of small talk, you know. I said, well, never discussed my private life. And we were into the room where the interview was going to take place. Amazing for a pro like Richard Nixon, a political pro, to have been at the heart of American political life for 30, 35 years and never have learned the art or the simulation of small talk. It's extraordinary, really. He was awkward about it to the very end.
Sir David Frost, whose 1977 interviews with Richard Nixon are featured in a series beginning tonight on the Discovery Civilization Channel.